All right, Mother's Day. We're going to be looking at John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It might end down there in verse 27, since I got it printed out for you. And God is so good. If you would, please let's stand for the reading of God's word. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. We'll read John 3, 14 and 15 and 16. Right off of that page of paper I've printed off for you there. John 3, starting in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for these that are here. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would just grant us a filling of the Holy Spirit for this moment. Open all of our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. A mother sat down with her son, and she was going to read the Bible to him. She got to John chapter 3, and she started reading, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The little boy was just looking at her, and real intently, and she said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the little boy was just looking at her really close. And then she read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Amen. And the little boy said, "Mama, I have a question." She said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't think it's very smart to put a snake on a stick and raise it up." And Mama said, "Well, we'll talk about that later." She said, "Let's go on." He said, "No." He said, "Mama, I got to ask you another question. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." He said, "Mama, how much does Daddy love this world? Because I am the only boy in this house." He had a question, didn't he? Let's talk about this. How important is the Word of God to you and me? How important is the history of it and the symbols of it? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Word of God ties that act back there to the cross of Christ. There was some... God said, "Raise that pole up, and everybody that looks will live." And then you find that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's an important passage of Scripture, isn't it? This morning in the Sunday school class, we talked about there in Timothy, where the mother, what was she doing? The young girl, Mary, bear children. What's that little word it said then? It talks about guide the house, huh? Guide the family. That means mama needs to be able to take the Word of God and for the children in the home and stuff to take the Word of God and give guidance within the home. There's a little thing we see here then. We all know John 3:16, don't we? But you see, if the woman is going to marry, bear children, and guide the home, she's got to know the Word of God to do that. So let's take a moment and look at some things. I want you to think about this. For God so loved the world. Now I want you all to think about this. God loved the world so much that the Holy Spirit, when he put the Word of God together, couldn't find a word that would be right. So the Holy Ghost just used so. So love. What's that mean? Just think about this. The Holy Spirit of God, the only way that God's love could be manifested was just in the word so. And that's because it was so big, so mighty, so perfect, so pure. The only way it could ever be expressed is just so loved. Amen. That's it. That's how great that is. So loved. I put those verses in the bulletin about guidance, because I wanted all of you to understand something. That God so loved you. God so loves you. Amen. That he will guide you even to the day of death. That's how much he loved you. Amen. That he'll guide you. You might say, well, my life is filled with trouble and turmoil. God will guide you. You say, everything's going all right with me today. Yeah, but tomorrow's coming. For God so loved. What a thought. We look at this, so loved the world, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved. Just think about that for a moment. Everywhere from the guttermost to the uttermost. From the trash bin of humanity to the highest outstanding of humanity. He so loved. He loved you. Isn't that something? Amen. And the little boy said, Mama, how much does Daddy love the world? In other words, as he interpreted that, if Daddy really loves the world, he'll forsake me. I thought to myself, boy, that's the way it is, isn't it? The little boy had some theology right, didn't he? Because regardless of how two people love one another, if you let one of them start loving the world, they'll not love the other one like they should. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And the little boy said, "Mommy, how much does Daddy love the world?" The little boy had his theology right, didn't he? You see, ladies and gentlemen, what we find is this reality. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And so when two people that are Christians come together and the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts, that Christian love draws them together. That's why Christian love is so important. Because it draws together. But boy, when one of them starts loving the world, what happens? Everything gets all crossed up, doesn't it? You see, for God so loved the world, it was not a divided love. It was not a prejudicial love. It was a love that God had placed upon these people of the world. And look at this. He loved them so much that he gave his only begotten son. Now listen to me. I want you to think of all the ramifications of this. If I were to say to you, Jesus Christ was the God-man, you would say, yes, he is. And if I said to you that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, you'd say, yes, he was. So now think of this. God loved you so much that when you look at the reality of this, God gave himself to purchase your redemption. It was God giving of himself. Amen. He was the God-man, wasn't he? Amen. So when you actually look at this, you realize God gave of himself to save you. God gave of himself. That's why the Bible talks about the righteousness of God. And how do we get it? By the blood of the Son of God, the God-man. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave himself. Amen. To believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, there's hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because in Christ, we'll find acceptance with the Father. In Christ, we find ourselves adopted into the family of God. In Christ, we find everything that we need for this life. We find guidance and protection. We find hope when things seem hopeless. What do we find? We find that peace that passeth all understanding. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that I give unto you. Now listen to this. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, folks, there's a huge difference between recognizing Jesus Christ and saying, that's Christ, and believing that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. There's a difference. One brings about conversion. The other is just recognition. And that's it. You might say, well, I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ. Yes, but you won't accept him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You won't accept him as the Savior. You won't accept him as the one that propitiated for your sin. He died for your sin. You will not accept him as that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'll not give him that reverence. You see, he's the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
That's where you and I have to start. Why did God give his son? Because you and I needed a savior.
Amen.
The only begotten son of God. Watch this. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Wow, verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Why do we have this dissertation after John 3:16? Why? You see, Mama might read John 3:16 to that little boy, and that little boy have some questions. But Mama needs to sit down now and clarify to the boy what this is all about. Back up to verse 17 now. As we work our way through it. Look at the verse at the bottom where it says in John 3:27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. See that? So we find then that we have all this dissertation up here. But then he gets to the end of it and says, but you need to know this. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now that's the truth of it, isn't it?
Right.
Now let's back up and let's take this little boy and his mama on a journey here. Mama's got to explain some things about the Son of God. First of all, Mama's going to tell that little boy in verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. She's going to explain to that little boy that when it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son and sent him on a mission. So she can explain to the little boy, God's son, Jesus Christ, was on a mission. And the mission was this, that the world through him might be saved. His mission was salvation to the lost. That was his mission. And God the Father sent him on a mission. And the little boy sat there looking, and he's shaking his head, yeah. That's good. And then the little boy says, Mama, would Daddy let me go on a mission for God? Mama, would Daddy let me go on a mission for God? To help others? Verse 18. Well, son, here it is. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Mama, what's that mean? That means judged, son. That means judged. You see, he that believeth on him, that's Jesus Christ, is not condemned. Why? Because your sins were judged on the cross. Jesus Christ has taken all of your condemnation away. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Son, do you know who the only begotten Son of God is? Yes, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What did Jesus Christ do? He died on the cross for you, son. He shed his blood for you. We're all sinners condemned to hell. Right. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, died upon the cross, shed his blood. And son, that was the sinless Son of God. That was the sinless blood of the Son of God. That was God giving God's blood to pay the price for a sinful life. And God's blood is sufficient for that purpose. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Son, all sin.
Amen.
You're clean. As a little boy pondered that, the little boy said, I think I understand this. Mama said, tell me what you understand. He said, he took my place. He took my place. Mama said, yes. And he said, well, Mama, I think I see the light. She said, well, that's good. Let's read the next verse. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light was present, but some people didn't like it, son. Some people didn't like that light because it was revealing. It revealed to everybody around some people what they were. The light of God reveals. The light of the Word of God reveals, doesn't it? The more of the Word of God you know, the more the Word of God will reveal to you. That's why the Bible says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Amen. The person that doesn't read the Word of God thinks that everybody else don't read the Word of God.
That's right.
The person that doesn't read the Word of God, what a shame. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a doctor that doesn't read and keep up on things. Something, you see, there's something about this light. You take this light. Now remember verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. In other words, the light has to come on. When you live in darkness, you're blinded by the darkness. You're mentally blinded by the darkness. Your eyes cannot see because of the darkness. We all try to strive to have this perfect flashlight. I've got one now rather than just the old yellow light. Man, it's a white light. That thing is bright. Now watch this. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. You see, the condemnation comes in the contrast between the light and the darkness. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. How people respond to the light of the gospel determines whether they're saved or not. You see, this is the condemnation. Condemned because of the light was present, but you rejected it. The light was revealing, but you rejected it. The light was present, but you wanted to put it out. How people respond to the light of the gospel determines their condemnation or not. Their deeds were evil. Look at this, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So the little boy asked Mom, what's that mean? And Mama says, well, son, it's like this. Wicked people, they don't just dislike this God's light. They hate God's light. They hate it. They have a disdain for it. They totally reject it. Why? Because it's a revealer. You see, the condemnation that you see here, the light has come into the world. The condemnation is the fact that the world rejects that light. Condemned because of they've rejected the light. Condemned because of how they respond to the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, I want you to notice something here. It's not that the deeds were made manifest here. It's that the Word of God and Jesus Christ reproves the lifestyle. Yeah. Brother Walton, witnessing to people, man, he's got this passage of Scripture and it lists all these things. And he said, just think, if you died, you would die as one of these. A liar, a whoremonger, a drunk, drug user, whatever. Is that your lifestyle? Well, that's how you're going to die. Right. A righteous rejecter of Christ, that's how you're going to die. Right. You see, what they find there in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest the deed should be reproved. Have you ever been around somebody that did not want to hear you tell them that what they're doing is wrong? Well, you see, Mom was telling this little boy the same thing. She said, son, a lot of people don't like to be reproved. Mommy, what's that mean? That means that God's telling them that what they're doing is wrong. Reproved. It means that the Word of God and the light of the Word of God is telling them what you're doing is wrong. Listen, if anybody has the right to judge our actions, it's God. Amen. And God's judgment is true. Amen. Be reproved. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. We might tell what that word wrought mean. There's a big old thick book put out, and the title of the book is What Hath God Wrought? In other words, what's God done? That old English word wrought, what's it mean? It means done. He wrought this work. He's done this work. And it said there in verse, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I've been around people that, man, I could call them. They wasn't going to answer the phone because they knew I was going to take them to the Word of God. Why? Because they weren't doing truth. In other words, there's a lot of people, son, that live a lie. The Bible talks much about deception. And mama needs to tell the boy, son, they don't want to be reproved. Look at the difference. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, known that they are wrought in God. In other words, done in God. In other words, God has done it. People that live in truth want to come to truth. People that recognize truth want to come to truth. I mentioned there in the Sunday school about old Hobson Wolf told me, he said, just, boy, if you want to do something, just preach the Word of God. You'll either preach them in or preach them out. That's it. And what's the Bible say? That in the last days, what will happen? People will not be able to endure sound doctrine. Isn't that right? Why? It's because they want false doctrine. They don't want the light of the truth. That offends them. That offends their lifestyle. Truth. But he that doeth truth. He that doeth truth. You better underline that. Doeth truth. You see that? Mm-hmm. It's the doing of the truth that causes us to be willing to come to the light. If you have a heart's desire to come to the truth, if you have a heart's desire for the truth, you'll come to it. Amen. Regardless, you'll come to it. You'll find out that it's God. What's what happened to me? But he that doeth truth. Mommy, what happened to Daddy? Well, son, your dad was a this and a that. Daddy, what happened to Mama? Well, your mama was a this and a that. But now we do truth. We don't live a lie no more. Amen. We've come to the lights that his deeds may be made manifest. We come to the truth. We come to the light. Now watch this, that the deeds may be made manifest. In other words, guess what? We have a testimony now. Son, when God saves you, you'll have a testimony. When God saves your dad has a testimony. When God saves me, your mother has a testimony. Why? They made manifest. It was made known. That the way we live right now was wrought in God. It was done by God. Amen. Mommy, would God do that for me? Amen. Would God do that for me, Mommy? Mommy, I don't like darkness. When you turn the light off at night, Mommy, that scares me to death. It's dark. I don't like darkness. I like light. Well, son, there's physical light and then there's spiritual light. And the spiritual light comes to us from heaven. God brings that to us. And we recognize it. Now, son, the reason God does that is because God so loved. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. You see, son, God makes the first move. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, that ought to tear your heart up, huh?
Amen.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They're wrought in God. Know this, the reason that people rebel against God, fight against God, live according to their own will and their own way, they're living in darkness. And the reason they don't want to come to the light is because it'll reprove them. it'll manifest the truth of them. Light always does that.
Amen.
And so we find then those people that live in darkness, one of the reasons, boy, they don't like the truths of the Word of God is because it reveals the truth of them.
Amen.
You cannot hide it. Physical light shows us physical things. Spiritual light shows us spiritual things. And that spiritual light shows us the truth of whether God has truly worked in somebody's life or not. That spiritual light manifests the truth, the spiritual truth of a person. And it's humbling. Son, you can't hide from that. You cannot hide from the truth of God. But he that doeth truth. Wow, what a statement. I reckon I could spend an hour on that with the greatest of ease. Thy word is truth. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Thy word is truth. He that doeth truth. That means he's doing the word of God. He's doing truth. That means he's doing the will of God. See that? He's doing it. And because he's doing it, he cometh to the light, that spiritual light that makes a difference. And he's willing to come. Why? Because, listen, anybody that has a testimony for God, that his deeds may be made manifest, known, that they are wrought in God, done in God. You show me somebody that's truly born again. You show me somebody that's been saved, blood washed, born again. I don't care whether they crawled out of a hell hole or out of hell itself, or whether they're pretty, whether they're clean, whether they're nice, whether they're religious. When God truly saves them, they want everybody to know it.
Amen.
It's a light, like it says, that they may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that they are wrought in God. See that? It's singular there, this thing. They are wrought in God. It's done in God. In other words, when God truly save somebody, that somebody wants somebody to know what God has done in their life.
Amen. That's right.
That's why when you read just a few more verses down the road and you get down to John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Amen.
Jesus saw those men on the road to Emmaus and said he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Listen, spiritual things this flesh cannot, has no ability to manipulate spiritual things. We can either fight against it or be under the influence of it. But we don't have the ability to bring anything about. We have the ability to manipulate flesh. Don't we? Man, flesh can make you mad, sad, or glad. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Depressed, oppressed, everything else pressed. But spiritually speaking, God has got to given us, God's got to give us something from heaven. And boy, when heaven does it, you'll find that you'll have a hungering and thirsting for righteousness.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you will cause you to thirst, man. When God saved me, I mean, I wanted a Bible. I wanted a church. I wanted a pastor. I wanted some preaching. I mean, everything changed. What happened? It's the fact that, man, something spiritual happened to me. And I wanted something spiritual to feed my soul.
Amen.
And so it is. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Mama has to tell the little boy, son, it all depends upon God now. Years ago, heard a man preaching, he made one statement. I wrote it down. I still got it. Never will forget it. Period. It changed my life. And I've shared it with a lot of preachers. And should have shared it with more. But it simply says this. Don't quit until you've practiced God's principles for success. Don't quit until you've practiced God's principles for success. That old 100-year-old preacher got up and shaky and about the size of a big pencil. He got up and everything he said I hung on to. I mean, everything he said was just arrows, sharp arrows. You know why? Because they were all spiritually discerning.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Mama could tell that little boy, now, son, you see, when God gives you something from heaven, it'll always lead you to truth and light. Son, never walk away from truth. Even if it hurts, it's truth. And remember something, truth don't change. Lies change, deception changes, manipulation changes, doesn't it? All that's changed, but God's truth never changes. So build your life on a foundation that never moves, never cracks, never breaks. It's a solid foundation. And so in closing, son, here's the benefit of this. And Moses lifted up the serpent as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Amen.
And that's Jesus. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Son, if you want eternal life, you'll find out that Jesus Christ has the ability to give you eternal life.
Amen.
Where did that start? For God so loved the world that he gave. Now look at this. He gave his only begotten son, but the very next verse says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. God sent. Jesus Christ was God sent. And so it is. Son, never forget this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. His word is truth. Son, if you'll do the truth, you'll enjoy the light. If you do the truth, you'll come to the light. You'll have a hungering and thirsting for the light, that spiritual light, which shows you the truth. And when you see the truth, here's what will happen to you, son. You'll want everybody around you to know of what God has done in you. Just think about this, son. Just think about this. You'll be able to tell others what God has done in you. So let me ask you all a question this morning. What's God done in you? God has standards for everything. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things pass away. All things become new. People say, I'm saved. Well, the thing I want to ask is, what changed in your life? And then you find all these religious people in Matthew 7. Lord, have we not done this in thy name and that in thy name and many wonderful works in thy name? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that'll die and go to hell. And then argue with God about it. You say, what's wrong? How can I recognize one of them? Well, simple. In that same passage of Scripture, what did he say? But he that doeth the will of my Father. Religious people doing their own thing is their own thing. Are you doing God's will or your will? Are you religious and lost? You can tell that by just asking yourself this one question. Have you, in your heart and mind, those words Jesus said, not my will but thine be done? Amen. Has the truths of the word of God, has the spirit of God, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven? Has heaven shown you the truth of you? Are you religious and lost? Because if you're truly born again, you'll come to the light and you'll have a testimony of what God has done in you. Amen. Do you have a testimony? I've asked a lot of people, are you saved? Tell me about your salvation. I got saved over Leroy's house. I got saved over here. I got saved over there. Give me your testimony. Well, I got saved over there. They didn't have a testimony. No conviction, no conversion. No conviction, no conversion. That's all there is to it. So the little boy and his mom had a pretty good lesson that day, didn't they? Don't forget it. If you're not saved, may God save you. Because one thing about it, listen, the gospel carries its own invitation. And like I said before, you know, the invitation didn't start till 2,000 years later. Why? Because the gospel carries its own invitation. If God saves you, you can't keep your mouth shut. You've got to tell it.
Amen.
And that's it. If you were to die right now, what would you die as? A religious lost person? An immoral person? A fornicator? A liar? A murderer? If you were to die right now, how would you die? What a thought. May God save your soul if you're not saved. If God has saved you, then may it be a testimony to everybody around you that God has done something in you, that God has wrought in you something that cannot be changed nor kept quiet. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would please, as we go to the Lord in prayer.